Amen. Amen. And just echoing that prayer, we do pray that we'd get to know the Lord better today, particularly His mercy and His love for us. Well, as you're getting settled in your seat, open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. We're in the Gospel of Luke, 6th chapter today. If you don't have a Bible, you're going to find one in a seat back nearby you. Grab that thing, open it up to God's Word, Gospel of Luke chapter 6. If you don't own a Bible, take that one home with you. That is our gift to you. We'd love for you to walk out of here with a copy of God's Word. Well, last weekend we celebrated Father's Day, and as I was remembering my father, one of the things I was thinking about is, like, throughout most of my life, I've heard people say, "You look just like your dad." And when I was younger, that didn't always set so well with me. But as I got older, I realized that's pretty good. Actually, I'm honored by that. And if you'd seen my father or you saw my father, you'd say, yeah, that's Mark in 25 years right there. But the fact is that we often do reflect our fathers. And it could be our physical appearance, but it could also be, you know, the way we talk or mannerisms or even the things that we value or certain habits. And sometimes those reflections of our fathers are good things. And then sometimes those reflections of our fathers are not so good. And it's just a reflection of the fact that just like all of us, our fathers were flawed and imperfect people. But in today's text, we're going to be called to reflect our Heavenly Father. And to reflect our Heavenly Father is a good thing, because our God is good. And our God is abounding in steadfast love. And He is faithful. And He is trustworthy. And as we're going to be reminded in our text today, He is merciful. But before we jump into the text, I want to remind us where we're at in the Gospel of Luke. So we're in chapter 6 of Gospel of Luke. And we're in what is oftentimes called Jesus' Sermon on the Plain. And so we all know His Sermon on the Mount that we find back in Matthew 5 to 7. This material here in Luke chapter 6, very similar material. Some of it's different. A lot of similarities. It appears that the setting is different. So sometimes it's called His Sermon on the Plain. And I also want to remind us of who He's speaking to at this point. And we find that in verse 20. So in Luke chapter 6, verse 20, it says this, And he lifted up His eyes. That's Jesus. Jesus lifted up His eyes on His disciples and said, so Jesus is speaking to and teaching His disciples here. And don't just think the 12 disciples whom He's now called apostles. Think a broader group of people that they call up disciples that are following Jesus. And I want to remind us of that, because as we read and study these verses today, we need to remember these are directed specifically to us. To those of us who are followers of Jesus, who would call ourselves disciples of Jesus. And so let's jump into the text, and we're going to start with verse 35. So we're going to be in Luke 6, chapter 6, verse 35. And you may remember that in last week's sermon, Brock finished with verses 35 and 36. They were included in his teaching. And so I want to step back, and I want to start with those two verses today, because they're going to set context for what we're going to jump into. So, Luke 6, verse 35. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. So, last Sunday, Pastor Brock noted that Jesus is here presenting to us a radical redefinition of love. Jesus is saying to His disciples, love your enemies. Do good to those who don't do good to you. Lend freely to those expecting nothing in return for that. And then we see in verse 35 that Jesus actually incentivizes that kind of love when He says, and your reward will be great. And then He adds this, and you will be sons of the Most High. And you will be sons of the Most High. And I want to pause on that for a minute. And I want to just focus on that part of what He says here for just a minute. So in your Bible, that term Most High should be capitalized, because He's referring to God. It's a phrase being used to describe God. We see it in other places in Scripture. We first see that happen all the way back in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 14, we're introduced to Melchizedek, and Melchizedek is referred to as a priest of God Most High. It's the first time we see it. And we've already seen it in our study in the Gospel of Luke. Back in Luke chapter 1, Jesus is identified as Son of the Most High. And then later in chapter 1 in Luke, when we're introduced to John the Baptist, John is referred to as the prophet of the Most High. So let's reread verse 35 again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Now, that verse does not mean that if we love our enemies and we do good and we lend freely, that's going to make us sons of the Most High. Rather, when we live that kind of love, we are simply reflecting our Heavenly Father, the character of our Heavenly Father. And when we do that, we're demonstrating to the world that when we do those things, we're truly already blessing it is to be known by the world as a child of the Most High God. And then he says this again at the end of verse 35. It says, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. And I want to pause on that a minute. So when we do these things, when we love our enemies, when we do good, when we lend freely, we're simply doing as our Father does. We're simply reflecting the nature of our Heavenly Father who is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. And then Jesus adds this crucial commandment in verse 36, and it's a commandment. This is not a suggestion for us. Verse 36, be merciful even as your Father is merciful. And that is the key point in the title of our sermon today. So as we look at these next six verses, they're all going to point back to this. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. And as we unpack these next six verses, we're going to answer two questions. Question one is, what does this look like? So in other words, if we're to be merciful even as our Father is merciful, then what does that look like? And then the second question we're going to answer, then how do we do that? How do we do this? Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. How do we even do that? So before we jump into these next six verses, let's go to the Lord and ask for his help here in prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, Lord, for the way you've loved us, for your mercy, Lord. We sing about it, we love it, but Lord, you're calling us to be merciful as you are. We want to reflect you. So Lord, as we get into the text today, Father, teach us, show us, Lord, encourage us where we need to be encouraged, rebuke us where we need to be rebuked, Lord. Just do that work today, Father. I pray that you get glory in all of this, Father. And Lord, please hide the preacher behind your words, Lord. We know the power is in your word through the Holy Spirit. Do a great work today for your glory as we get into this text. Teach us, Lord. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so question one, what does this look like to do this? Let's jump back into the text. So we're in Luke 6, picking up now in verse 37. It says, judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Let's pause there. So Jesus has not closed out his previous teaching and moving on to a new teaching. Okay, these words that we just read here about judging and condemning, they're directly linked, and they're a specific way that we are to be merciful even as your Father is merciful. That's what Jesus is telling us here. And it's interesting, verse 37 might be the best known verse in all of the Bible for people who don't know the Bible. Like, I'm amazed by how many people will never maybe crack open a Bible that can tell you, hey, the Bible says you shouldn't judge. And they're right, because there it is. And for those of us who are followers of Jesus, this verse can be a little bit confusing for us at times. So let's make sure that we understand it. So for us to be merciful, even as our Father is merciful, we're given two things to do and two things not to do. So we're not to judge and condemn, but we are to forgive and give. And so to be merciful, even as our Father is merciful, is to be forgiving and giving, not condemning and judging. So let's start with those two don't do's. Again, the verse says, judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. So, let's talk about those words. To judge something is to reach a conclusion about someone or something and to make a definitive decision. And then to condemn is to find someone guilty or to maybe close something down. And so the condemning is more of what happens as a result of the judgment. It's kind of the consequences of the judgment. A simple example might be a building inspector who walks into an old building that's kind of dilapidated and falling apart, and based on that inspection, judges that this building is no longer safe for occupancy, and then subsequently condemns that building. Like, nobody can go into that building unless something's done or it's torn down. So you have judgment and condemnation. The two are pretty closely related in that there's a degree of finality to them. You know, a judgment is a decision. It's been made. It's time to move on to other matters. To condemn something is to be finished with something. And it's not just the actions of judgment and condemning. It's a heart posture. Just like everything else Jesus teaches us, it's a heart issue because we can be judging toward others without ever saying a word to them. So this is a heart issue. So apparently, judgment and condemnation run counter to our ability to be merciful as our Father is merciful. And so for those of us in the room who are followers of Jesus, this can create a little bit of a tension inside of us, can't it? Because as we seek to follow this teaching, does it mean that we're to turn a blind eye to sin? Or does it mean that if we see a brother or sister wandering from the truth, wandering, maybe going down a path of sin, is it like, oh, we just need to let them go because we're not supposed to judge and condemn? The answer to that is no. And let me tell you why. And so we've got to lay these verses alongside other verses in our Bibles. And I want to do that for us today just to make sure that we're properly understanding and interpreting and applying these verses. So there's a lot of verses within the New Testament we could go to. I'm going to go to two to help us, to lay alongside these verses to help us to see what this means. The first one I'm going to look at is from Paul's letter to the Galatians. And so from Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul says this, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, that is a sin, a transgression, a wandering, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. So there's an identification of sin here and a call to come alongside and restore in gentleness. Okay, here's how James puts it in his letter. James 5, 19 and 20 says this, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. And so in each of these, we are called to be discerning about the sin that we might see in a brother or sister's life and seek to restore them, to bring them back with gentleness. So in each of those cases, the sin has to be identified, but not to judge it, rather to address it. You see, our desire should be for their holiness, not for their condemnation. And remember what I said earlier, there's a degree of finality to judgment and condemnation. In our passage today, it's telling us to be merciful is to guard against a judgmental and condemning posture toward a brother or sister. But it doesn't mean that we're not to be discerning and honest with one another as we help each other in our walk with the Lord. So to be merciful is to seek what is best for a brother or sister. And if they are blinded by their sin, if they're wandering from God's way, we're to come alongside them and we're to help them with that and to restore them in a spirit of gentleness. It's the difference between a posture of condemnation and a posture of mercy. Kyle, I'm going to have you stand up with me. And this is not a public rebuke of Kyle here. He just happens to be sitting in this seat. But this posture of condemnation is like this. Kyle, I see there's sin. Man, that is sin. Whatever it is, you're off the path, you're wandering, and I can't be around that, and I'm out. And that seems harsh, right? But that's that spirit of condemnation and judgment. Man, that's sin. Deal with that. The Spirit, the merciful approach, the merciful posture is like, hey, brother, I'm seeing something. I'm seeing something in your life here. I feel like we've wandered. Like, let's get God's word out and let's do this together. Let's get back to the path together. That's the, thank you. That's the difference between judging and showing mercy and coming alongside, desiring their holiness and not their condemnation. So we're given these two things not to do, but then we're given two things to do. The text says in verse 37, at the end of 37, forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. So those are the things we are to do. So be merciful even as your Father is merciful doesn't just mean don't judge and condemn. It means seeking what's best in the best well-being for the other person. And we do that by being willingly forgiving and generously giving, which means that when a brother or sister comes to you and said and asks for forgiveness, it's we're to willingly give that forgiveness, which means we truly are going to let that go. We are truly going to set that aside. We're no longer going to hold that against them. We're going to wipe the slate clean. We're going to forgive when they ask to be forgiven. Because judgment and condemnation bring this degree of finality to them. But when we forgive, that's a restoration that happens. Judgment and condemnation, that becomes the end of a relationship. Forgiving is a restoration of a relationship. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. And then it says we're to give generously to others. And Jesus doesn't specify what that giving is. It could be money, but it could also be our time and assistance, friendship, whatever it looks like. It's to have this posture of generosity. And it's an opportunity when we have this posture of generosity to, again, reflect our Heavenly Father. We are reflecting our Heavenly Father because He gives very generously. And look at the way Jesus puts it here in verse 38. He says, give and it will be given to you. And then He uses this illustration. He says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So we can read that. We're like, I don't know exactly what he's talking about here, but it sounds really good. It basically, this is an illustration of like, think about grain. You're being measured. They're measuring out some grain for you, and they have a measuring. This is how much grain you're going to get. And it's this picture of pouring the grain into that and then pressing it down and then shaking it to get rid of all the air and getting it all settled in and pouring more in and just keep pouring until it's coned up at the top and pouring over. And that's what's going to be poured into your lap. That's the idea here. Maybe a more relevant modern example might being ordering a small fry at Five Guys. That cup looks so small, and they fill it with fries, and they put it in a bag, and they pour a whole bunch more fries in. You're like, whoa, look at all those fries, and the grease is coming out the sack, and it's amazing. I like the fries at Five Guys. The point is to be merciful as our Father is merciful. It should be marked by that kind of generosity. So let's summarize where we're at. To be merciful as our Father is merciful is to avoid a judgmental and condemning posture and to embrace and lean into being forgiving and giving. It seems so simple, doesn't it? So why do we struggle so much with it? Why do we tend toward the judgment and condemnation? And why do we find it so hard to truly forgive someone? And then why do we cling so tightly to our money and to our time and to our comfort? Well, Jesus is now going to tell us a parable that's going to begin to answer this question. How do we do this? That if it's so simple, but why do we, how do we do this? And as we read the parable and answer that question, it's going to press us to ask ourselves two questions for how we do this. Number one, who am I following? And number two, have I properly examined myself? So as we answer this question, now how do we do it? It's going to say, we need to answer these questions. Who am I following, and have I properly examined myself? So let's get our eyes back on the text. We're in verse 39. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. So let's pause there. Now, at first reading, it's not clear how that's related to what we've just been talking, but Jesus is not starting a new teaching here. This is directly related. So as we seek to be merciful, as our Father is merciful, we first need to ask, who am I following? And Jesus starts very simply in his parable. He says, can a blind man lead a blind man? The obvious answer is no, that's not going to go well. And then he asks, will they both not fall into a pit? Yeah, if there's a pit nearby, like there's a real risk they're going to fall into that pit. And now Jesus is going to get to the point. Verse 40, a disciple is not above his teacher. So Jesus is clearly talking about a teacher-discipleship relationship. A disciple is someone who has submitted themselves under a teacher, desiring to learn from that teacher. His crowd, the audience that's listening this way, they would fully understand this example. Very common at that time to have a disciple under a teacher. You would put yourself under the authority of someone else to learn from them. So there's an order, there's an authority of teacher and disciple. And then he continues and says, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. In other words, the whole purpose of this relationship is this disciple is moving more and more and becoming more and more like that teacher. That's the whole purpose of that relationship. And we need to kind of understand that because all of us are following and being taught by someone or someones, which means that we're being shaped and molded into the image of those who are teaching us, of those who are influencing us. So if we desire to be merciful as our Father is merciful, to be forgiving and giving rather than condemning and judging, then we need to consider, who are you following? Who are you learning from? Whom have you entrusted yourself to? And the answer to that should be super obvious because we're in church today. We need to make sure you're following Jesus. We need to make sure you're following Jesus. And this doesn't mean following Jesus as just a so-called good teacher. Like one voice among many of like, yeah, I listen to this and I hear from this and I'm talking this and Jesus isn't there and I like some of what he says. No, this is following Jesus as a disciple. Remember, teacher-disciple relationship and authority structure. So being a disciple of Jesus means fully submitting to him both as Savior and as Lord. And the first part of making sure that you're following Jesus well is making sure that you're following him as Savior. You see, we're called to be merciful even as our Father is merciful, and God displayed his mercy for us most clearly at the cross of Christ. And so all of us are going to struggle to do what it calls us to do here. In fact, all of us struggle to do so much of what the Lord calls us to do. The Bible calls that sin when we fall short of that. And Paul says it so clearly in the book of Romans, in his letter to the Romans, he says, there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So that's all of us. He goes on to say, none is righteous, no, not one. Since we all fall into that category of none is righteous, no, not one, we're all going to stand guilty before God on the day of judgment because we've all fallen short of that. So we may strive and work for obedience, and we may work hard at trying to be merciful, and I'm trying not to be condemning and judging, but the sobering reality is that at the end of the day, all of us are going to fall short of that. And so we need help. We need a Savior. We need someone to come alongside and help us do that before we would stand before the judgment seat of God and face his wrath. But our God, our Heavenly Father, is a merciful God. And in his mercy toward us, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to go to a cross, to die on a cross on our behalf, in our place, to pay the penalty that we deserve to pay because of our sin. And in doing that, God took the righteousness of Christ and placed it upon us. Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 5. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, pause on that. Not once we kind of got our act together and kind of figured things out and started living right. No, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, that justified means declared innocent, judged innocent, no condemnation. He says, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. That's what it means to follow Jesus as Savior. It's to have placed your faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Paul goes on in this letter to the Romans to say this: there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So the most amazing display of God's love and mercy is at the cross of Jesus Christ. And so for those of us who are in Christ, who have put our faith in Jesus, there is no condemnation remaining for us. And so why would we ever go up to a brother or sister with a spirit of condemnation? That brother or sister has already been judged by the Lord and found innocent. There is no condemnation left. So who are we to pass judgment and condemnation? So the first step in following Jesus to make sure that you're following him as Savior. And if you've done that, if you've placed your faith in them, then the next question, have you also submitted to him as Lord? Are you following him as Lord? Are you truly following Jesus as your teacher with you in the disciple or the learner role? Because Jesus just stated in this parable that a disciple is not above his teacher. And so if you find yourself not being merciful as your Father is merciful, if you're leaning towards judgment and condemnation more than forgiveness and giving, we need to ask, maybe I'm following somebody other than Jesus. And that's such a crucial question for us to consider. Because we're all following someone. We have voices speaking into us from all over in this culture that we live in. And we don't have to shut them all out. But as followers of Jesus, we want our lives to grow more and more and more like Jesus. Because Jesus says that everyone, when he's fully trained, will be like his teacher. That's what we want, to be like Jesus. But we're not going to progress in that if the one we're following is blind. In fact, watch out, you might be headed for a pit. So again, question, who are you following? Who are you listening to? Who are you allowing to speak into your life? What podcasts are you listening to? How does your time in God's Word compare to the amount of time you spend scrolling on your phone? Who are you allowing to speak into the hard things in your life? See, these are the things we want to consider. And I want to give us three practical ways to make sure that we're following Jesus well. Okay, so there's many things I think we could talk about here. But I'm just going to go to three. I think three practical ways that we can make sure that we're following Jesus well. The first is this: establish regular times for the reading and study of God's Word. That's probably the least surprising thing you would expect to hear from your pastor today. But God has given us his word. This is his word. And this entire book from Genesis to Revelation is about Jesus. And it's pointing to Jesus. If we want to make sure we're following Jesus well, we need to be in God's word. And so if you haven't done that, establish some kind of rhythm to that. Get a Bible reading plan. Ask somebody else, how can I do that? If you had one and you've gotten away from it, get back to it. If you're in one and you're like, I'm just discouraged, I don't think it's bearing any fruit, like, stay with it. God is at work. Fruit will be born. It is worth it. We need to be in his word. Second thing, establish relationships with others that point you to Jesus. I love the way Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 11:1. He says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So we just need to make sure that the primary influencers in our life are also, their lives are pointing to Jesus. Who are the primary influencers in my life? Is that person subsequently following Jesus? Because Paul says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Ultimately, we want to make sure that we're following Christ. And it might be that we're following somebody, but make sure they're following Christ. And then finally, assess what voices you're allowing to speak into your life, and then limit or stop those that are not helping you become like Jesus. So I'm just saying, pause, assess, like, who's speaking into my life? Like, who's influencing me? Just assess that. And I say limit or stop. Some of them may need to be stopped. Some of them may be like, man, I'm spending a whole lot of time listening to that or hearing from that person or reading that news feed, and it's just not helping me be more like Christ. Like, I need to stop that. Or it could just be, hey, I need to put that in the proper perspective of everything else. Maybe I need to limit it. You don't need to stop that sports podcast, but just How does it compare to the time I'm spent trying to follow Jesus? So some things for us to consider to make sure we're following Jesus well, because a disciple is not above his teacher, and everyone, when he's fully trained, is going to be like his teacher. So if we want to be merciful as our Heavenly Father is merciful, we've got to look carefully at who we are following and make sure that we're following Jesus, because in Christ Jesus, we have been forgiven greatly, and forgiven people forgive. And people who have received such great mercy are in turn merciful. And so Jesus is going to continue in this parable. And now he's going to send us to the next question, which is, have I properly examined myself? So who am I following? Now, have I properly examined myself? He continues in the parable. Verse 41 is where we're at. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take that speck that is that's in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that's in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck that is in your brother's eye. Man, what a great illustration. And remember what we're after. We want to be merciful even as our Father is merciful. And we do this by avoiding judgment and condemnation, leaning into forgiving and giving. It means we come alongside others for their holiness, not for their condemnation. But part of living this out is ensuring that we've properly examined ourselves before we do this. And so this illustration that Jesus gives us, it's very intentionally absurd. So you have here a person that has a speck in their eye, and think maybe a speck of sawdust in their eye, and another person notices it, but the person that notices it has a log in their own eye. And they're like, hey, let me come get that speck out of your eye. If you're the guy with the speck in your eye, like, get away from me. Like, you got a log in your eye. You can't see. Keep your hands away from my eye. That's how absurd this is. It's an illustration of the blind leading the blind. I want to confess to you this morning that I'm a baby when it comes to getting splinters. I hate getting splinters. Oh, and they're so irritating, and like, I can't get them. Usually they're buried in there, and I can't get them out. I don't deal well with it. Praise the Lord for my wife. She has always been willing to get splinters. For me and the kids, she's the go-to to get a splinter out. And so if I get a splinter, the first thing I say is, Beth, can you get this splinter out of my hand? And the first thing she's going to say is, let me get my glasses to be able to see closely. And I'm like, that's a good idea. Because if we're out and she doesn't have her glasses, I'm like, okay, we're dealing with this for a while, because you're not digging on my hand until you got your glasses on. But if she's got her glasses, I'm like, let's go, baby. Go, get that out of there. So Jesus commands us to be merciful as our Father is merciful. And one of the ways we do this is we come alongside our brother or sister to help them in their walk with the Lord. And the speck in this illustration is it's like sin in their life. There's a sin that's in their life that we're seeing. But so Jesus says, he doesn't say, don't help them. He doesn't say, don't come alongside them. But he says, deal first with your own sin. Deal first with this log that might be in your own eye before doing it. You see, if we're blinded by a log in our own eye, our posture is going to be tend more towards judgment and condemnation. It's going to be like the blind leading the blind. But if we've done the hard work of examining ourselves, and if we're seeing and dealing with the sin in our own life, then we can see more clearly to come alongside a brother or sister with humble mercy and be better positioned to help them. And you know, I find the reality is we are best able to see sin in others that we ourselves struggle with. Like, I am super quick to see sin in somebody else that's something that I deal with. And so when we see that sin in a brother or sister, we should pause and say, have we properly examined ourselves? Have I assessed myself? Have I done the hard work of repentance before God on this? It doesn't mean that we've got it all figured out. It doesn't mean that that is completely in our past. It does mean that we've made progress. It does mean that we see, we're dealing with it, we've gone to the Lord, we are working at it, and that we are self-aware enough that we can better come alongside a brother or sister. Because as I said earlier, when we realize how much we have been forgiven, we're better able to forgive. And when we realize how generous God has been to us and how much we've been given by Him, we're going to freely give to others. And when we do that, we get to reflect our Heavenly Father by being merciful, even as He is merciful. Well, as we close out today, we're going to sing here about God's mercy. And if the Lord's stirring in your heart today, we're going to have a group of people that are going to come down here as we're singing the final song. And if the Lord is stirring in any way, maybe you're thinking about, maybe I'm not following, have I followed Jesus? Or maybe there's something today that the Lord has stirred. Do not hesitate to come down. We would love to pray with you. There's this team that will be down here. They would love to pray with you, talk to you, hear from you. And you can come down during the song, but you can come down after. They're going to be down here after we're done and we're dismissing. Please come down. We would love to hear from you, love to pray with you. And so let's now stand up, and we're going to sing about, we're going to worship the Lord and sing about His mercy.